Jeff J. Hood Show. Spring trading is here. And in for Hoodie is Adam A. Abdallah. I'm David Kaplan. Shay Norling is in his rightful spot as the executive producer. Jay Moore's at the controls.
We were comparing inks.
Yes.
So I got this one.
Yeah.
It's my daughter's name.
Uh-huh.
Layla.
Uh-huh.
In Arabic.
Uh-huh.
Twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago.
Pretty cool.
If you want to see the inks.
Those are the type of tattoos that I like because they have meaning. I'm not putting a freaking Cubs logo on my body.
That has meaning to you.
No, I met my wife at Wrigley, and I love the Cubs. That's my favorite team.
I got a camel. Can you see this on Twitch? Hold on, let me go to the camera. I got a camel right there.
Mm-hmm.
Obvious reasons.
Yep.
You don't need to do that. And then I have a horrible Alkaline Trio tattoo that I got there when I was 18. My favorite band. I hope Dan's listening from Alkaline Trio. Dan, the bass player from Alkaline Trio, listens a lot. And we've become friendly over the past couple years. And I don't think he knows that I have a tattoo of his band on my arm.
God bless. People should do what they want with their body. It's their canvas. So
we were interviewing him, and Chris was like, are you going to tell me about a tattoo? I'm like, no, that's weird. I'm not telling him that. But yeah, so if Dan's listening, I have your band tattooed on my body, which would be cool. But I'm probably going to get some more because you know how it is. Once you get one, the itch is there, and
it's addicting, man.
You want more. And of course, mine are like in the most painful spots. Like behind the arm and then on the inside of your bicep are like the two most painful spots.
Tell me about it.
You can get tattoos.
I've done both inside biceps and wow.
It's painful.
Painful.
It's super painful.
Yeah.
And then I got one removed too from the inside of my bicep, and that was super painful too. But you said you're getting a family tree tattoo.
Yeah, the guy who does all the stuff for me over at Great Lakes Tattoo, Nick. Nick Colella, I think he's the best in town.
Shout out, Nick.
Nick is awesome. And so he's designing it for me.
Okay.
And so it'll have my late parents, because both my mom and dad are gone.
Mm-hmm.
It'll have my brother,
mm-hmm.
Bruce, and it'll have my wife, our kids.
Okay.
No daughter-in-laws yet.
So this goes from your arm.
I showed you
down.
Where,
yeah, no, I'm just telling for the people, like new audience,
the top of the shoulder,
yeah,
into like the top of my chest.
Okay,
the right
onto the boob, right?
Yeah.
Onto the boob.
Not quite that far down.
Not quite,
but just up here.
Well, yeah, I mean, you got to keep. But what if you get new additions, new branches?
So,
right. So who's making it again?
My late parents.
Okay.
My brother.
Okay.
My wife.
Okay.
Our four boys.
All right, 1, 2, 3, 4. So 8 people.
Correct.
8 people. Now, your daughter-in-laws are not making the tree. They don't make the tree.
Not yet.
They don't make the tree. So is the philosophy, if they don't make the will, they don't make the tree?
Well, if they're married to my son and I happen to pass, they're going to get something.
What about grandkids? You don't have room for some leaves?
I might put little Ben on there. I got a second grandchild coming end of April.
And do you know their name and gender yet?
No, they did not want to find out.
Okay, hey, people do that. That's fine. Will you get their two names on the tree?
That's
a topic.
Yeah.
Are you putting them in the will?
Who, the grandkids?
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll always.
Well, then they should be on the tree if you're on the will. And then see, here's what happens, Cap. One of them pisses you off, and all of a sudden they see you in the summertime. Your shirt's off, and you're like, hey, where's my name? My name was removed.
Right. Well, you're out of it.
Well, you're out of the will.
Right.
So, no, are the daughters-in-law upset?
They don't even know.
Now they do. Do you think they'll be upset?
I don't think so.
How long have they been married?
Garrett and Jenny, it'll be 4 years.
Okay.
And Nick and Maggie, it'll be 2 years this summer.
Okay.
Alex is getting married in October.
Okay, so
Brett's
now,
not
this
married.
Isn't like a 20-year marriage. Okay.
That's different.
Okay. All right.
I believe they're all going to stay together.
Yeah, but yes, but you don't want, I understand. I don't want to put that hate on anybody, but I understand that. Yes, I get that. I get that. I take that back. I have 6. I have 1. What about the dogs?
The dogs.
I have one for my dog.
I have the 3 dogs.
Oh,
on,
you do?
On here.
Okay, yeah. I have one for my dog too. But the dogs don't make the tree, huh? Are the dogs in the will?
No.
Hmm, interesting.
Dogs are not in the will.
My mom's dog is in her will.
Wow. All right, I have another question. Has the Bears offseason so far
we're back to serious things. Okay.
Been a success? Has it been a success? I do not want to put words in his mouth, but I was listening to Carmen one day, and I heard him say something along the lines, Carm texts me, I believe he said he's a little underwhelmed. So,
I would say yes. I would say that they have done and it's been a successful offseason so far. Yeah. I would say yes.
I think they have done some good things.
Yeah.
I don't think they've come anywhere close to doing enough for me to believe this team's climbing out of the basement yet. Here's Keyshawn Johnson on that very topic this morning on KJM.
Major pass for them. They get DJ Moore. They Tremaine Edmonds, obviously, from Buffalo. They get Edwards to replace the linebacker in Roquan Smith that they decided not to pay, but they wind up paying this guy. But look, they got not only the players, they got draft picks. My good buddy, my really good friend, and Ryan Poles has done an amazing job this offseason as a second time that he's had an offseason, and he certainly has hit pay dirt in doing it.
I think that the like you said, the addition of DJ Moore is huge because he's the best free agent wide receiver, and though he was involved in a trade. You traded for him, but you didn't really give up much for him. You know what I mean? Like, this isn't trading for, like I said in the offseason before, we knew the Bears would have the number one pick, trading for DK Metcalf, where, like, you have to trade for him and then pay him. Like, you trade, he was added in as part of trading the first overall pick.
But you gave up the first overall pick.
But you weren't going to take a wide receiver with the first overall pick. And you also got another first round pick and a second round pick. So, like, you got enough. Like, DJ Moore is good, but you got that other first round pick and then a second round pick. And then if you didn't get DJ Moore, you would have gotten another first round pick. To me, that's fine. I think are they better than they were 3 weeks ago? Yes. They are hands down better than they
completely
were 3 weeks
agree,
ago.
Completely agree. But they're also the worst team in the NFL.
Technically speaking,
No, they are the worst team in the NFL. They're picking number one, or were, for a reason. The worst team in the National Football League.
See, I don't consider that to be a metric for the worst team in the NFL. Like, they were a two-point conversion away from not being the worst team in the NFL to being the second worst team in the NFL. Like, if the Texans don't convert that two-point conversion, we're not having this conversation.
Okay, then they're the second worst team.
But also, there are other teams. There are a bunch of other teams, I think, that I would say that I would rather not be than the Bears, which to me means they're not the worst team in the NFL. Like, the Bears, I would rather not be the Cardinals. I would rather not be the Texans. I would rather not be the Bucks. I would rather... There's a bunch of teams I could name that I would rather not be than the Bears, and that, to me, is my metric of the worst team in the NFL.
Because the Bears are fully engaged in a rebuild. The Bucks are just beginning that.
Well, but still, the Bears have a quarterback.
Correct.
The Bears, and even
we
though...
We think.
Well, and even... I don't like Kyler Murray, so I'd rather, you know, even the Cardinals, I'd rather be the Bears over the Cardinals. I'd rather be the Bears over the Texans, and have, even though they have two first-round picks this year.
Okay, would you rather be the Bears or the Giants?
Ooh, that's tough.
I don't think it's close.
I think I'd rather be... I don't like Daniel Jones, though. So, I like Justin Fields better than Daniel Jones. I don't like Daniel Jones. So, I'm going to say Bears.
They won a road playoff game.
I don't care. I don't like Daniel Jones. I don't think he's worth... I would never have given him that contract. Never have given him that contract.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. They gave him basically a two-year deal.
Okay.
If you're running the New York Giants... Mm-hmm. What are you doing at quarterback when you got a team that went to the second round of the playoffs?
Okay.
What are you doing?
They beat the worst team in the playoffs.
It doesn't matter, Adam. They went to the freaking playoffs and won a road game over a 13-win team.
Yeah, the Lions are crap and you know it. Or not the Lions. The Vikings are crap and you know it.
Does not matter.
Come on.
You cannot walk in to your owner and go, yeah, we're not going to pay Daniel. I don't know what we're going to do there. We'll bring Andy Dalton in. What are you going to do?
You find if you're Brian Daboll and you're the quarterback whisperer,
and he loves him some Daniel
then
Jones.
Good for him. I don't like Daniel Jones. That's
but
my
what
opinion.
What is your plan?
My plan is to find another quarterback, and that's on the staff and Brian Daboll to do it. I'm not tying myself and my coaching career as a head coach to Daniel Jones. I'm sorry.
But
I'm
you
not
only
doing
locked
it.
Up 2 years guaranteed money.
Okay, then trade if for Lamar. The obvious answer is to everyone out there, trade for Lamar. That's the answer. My answer to every quarterback question you're going to have is trade for Lamar.
And are you giving him a $250 million guaranteed deal?
No, I'm not giving him that, but you make the offer sheet and then he's not going to, if no one offers him that, he's not going to take it because it's not being offered. He's going to take a different deal than 200. What is he going to sit out? No, he's going to play. He's not just going to say, well, I guess I'm done with football.
Well, then why doesn't he take it from Baltimore?
Because maybe he doesn't like the organization. He didn't want to be around the team in the playoffs. He didn't want to be around them. He just doesn't want to be in Baltimore, probably. So if you're the Giants, go to him and say, hey, look, this is what people are offering. We went around the league. This is what we're doing. If you want it, come play for us. We got weapons. We got a better. I'm a better offensive coach than Harbaugh, and whatever they're bringing in as offensive coordinator. So come play for me. And he probably goes, you know what? No one's offering me a guaranteed deal, and I don't want to be sitting at home and not making money. So I'm going to make some money, and I'm going to play for a better coach.
Yeah, I don't understand guys who think someone would sit out and leave all the money on the table.
No, he's not going to
not play.
Sit out.
Can never make it back.
He's
never.
Not going to do that.
Never. 312-332-3776. So that is our question for you. Has the offseason for the Bears been a success? Simple question. Yes or no? And if you are saying yes, what's next? Where is this team headed?
Mm-hmm.
Are they headed to, like Adam thinks, 8-9 wins? Are
I said
they?
8 wins. I said, see, don't start doing this.
Okay, 8.
Yeah, right. Because here's what's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen, and Shea will document this.
You did take the over 7.5 that I
did. I said I think they win 8 games. Because what'll happen is I will be off this show tomorrow, and next week when we're not doing spring trading on a Wednesday or Thursday, you'll be talking about the Bears. You'll be like, Abdallah has them winning 12 games. And every time you mention Abdallah has them winning X amount of games, all of a sudden by the time we get to the regular season, Abdallah's got them going undefeated.
Yeah, no, I have.
I said
you,
8 games.
I said the floor was 7 and that I think they could win 9.
And now 11 games,
and then
right?
Weeks later, it's, well, you keep saying 10 games. You keep saying 11 games.
No.
You
no,
keep saying
never,
Super Bowl.
Never said that. Never said that.
Clip
That's
it.
Dumb. Stupid.
Abdallah
Wrong.
Said 8 games. 8 games. Abdallah said 8 games.
Mark it.
Remember this. Okay? And Shay said 7 or 8, what do you say, 8 or 9 games?
7's the floor. Yep. I think they could get to 9.
Agree with that. I agree wholeheartedly with that. 7's the floor. If everything goes perfectly and no one gets hurt, 9 games. But I'm going to say they're an 8-win team.
Yeah, I got to see what they do in the draft. But right now, today, I think they're a 6-win team.
I mean, we know what they're going to do in the draft. Don't we?
We don't.
I mean, look, they're not going to do something crazy. They're going to do what we all think. They're going to take an offensive lineman or a defensive lineman, and then they're going to add depth at other positions.
What if he shocks everybody and takes Jackson Smith and Jigma at 9? Or what if he trades?
Ooh, I might go 10 games. Yeah, I might
I don't
go
know.
10 games. I might start talking about the division.
And he's most guys do not have him the number one receiver in the draft.
I mean,
I think they do now. I think most of them now.
From TCU's. Number
I think
one.
He's the best. Let's see. Mel's the first wide receiver off the board for Mel Kiper in his latest mock draft is, drumroll please.
This dropped today, right?
This came out today, ESPN.com. The first wide receiver is Jackson Smith and Jigba, 20th to the Seattle Seahawks.
20th.
Yeah.
20th? So. What is Mel on?
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, he's got a bunch of defensive players going first, and then he's got a tight end going
first,
too.
All right, hold
too.
That thought. We got to take a timeout. 312-332-3776. Has the offseason so far been a success? If you're saying yes, what do you think next year? We'll be right back.
This is Spring Training Tuesday. Same lovable ESPN Chicago hosts, but paired with different radio partners.
How are we going to work this? Same way we always do. I interrogate him, you write it down.
Spring Training Tuesday continues on ESPN Chicago.
Rolling on Spring Trading Tuesday here. The lineup, Adam Abdallah is in for Hoodie with me today. I'm David Kaplan. Greeny, 10 to 12. Hood and Waddle, noon to 2. Sylvie and Carmen, 2 to 6. Bleck and Yurko, 6 to 8. And don't forget, coming up at 9:35, the Savory and Cereal Brackets, round of 32 that Shay and Jay Moore put together. So has the Bears offseason so far been a success? And if you're saying yes, what are your expectation levels for next year? Our guy Eddie on the north side is next. Eddie!
Hey, boys, how you doing?
What's up, man?
Hey, Adam, if you're not going to pay Daniel Jones, then I believe Lamar Jackson will never win a Super Bowl. Okay. I don't know how you guys feel. He's injured every year and not doing this. Why would you even pay him half of what he wants?
Because he's a better quarterback than Daniel Jones. That's why, Eddie. You know that.
Just pose that question. If he's not going to get you the promised land, because I think he had that shot already, I wouldn't pay him. I'd release him. I'd just draft another quarterback then.
Okay.
I mean, wouldn't you do that if you knew at the end point that he's never going to win a Super Bowl for you?
But you don't know that.
Are we just giving money to our fantasy teams that, oh, he'll do good on my fantasy league. I hope he gets paid.
Eddie, when Lamar Jackson's healthy, he's easily a top 10 quarterback. Daniel Jones is not.
But that's if. And the other point is that I agree with Ryan Poles is doing 100%. He's going after offense because in this league now, defenses really don't matter much. Look at Kansas City last year and their playoff games. Each team scored over 20 points. You go down the line of their whole season, teams have scored 34, 27, 28. If you have an exceptional offense in this changed league, of an offensive league in the NFL, you could win a Super Bowl. And that's what he's doing. And I don't even think he's doing just because of Justin, but he hears everybody crying that Justin has nothing. Well, Justin, here you go. And if you don't prove it next week, I agree. This year, and I agree with Cap, he will draft a quarterback next year, and he'll have an offense that this quarterback goes into that's going to be outstanding, and he should draft that receiver from TCU this year. I believe just load him up. Load studs, even if you got to drop some of our old receivers. You got them three guys to run out there. You got two tight ends are out there. He's making a great offensive line. That's what you need in the NFL now is a great, great offense, and you can win that way.
Eddie, appreciate the call, man. Thanks a lot. The guy,
all right, guys. Have a great day.
You too. The guy I want is Marvin Harrison Jr. next year.
Well, then you need to suck.
Well, Carolina could suck.
That's true. They do have that pick. Yeah. But you can't guarantee that. So, you're not going to tank for a wide receiver. And I guess you could trade up for him if you really wanted to. But again, Marvin Harrison might be great. Or there's a ton of other wide receivers every single year that are just as fast.
There's something about that kid and his pedigree.
Okay.
That if Carolina is bad and Justin plays well enough that the Bears win 8 games, to quote you, or mm-hmm. Floor 7 could win 9, according to Shay.
Shay said 12 games.
14, I thought.
Yeah.
If that's the case, then best case scenario. I got my quarterback, my team played better than I thought, and I've got Carolina's pick. Unless I'm selling it for a ransom, for an insane haul.
But you know how college works.
Marvin Harrison Jr.
Marvin Harrison might have a flat year next year.
He might.
And the next wide receiver out of whatever school will be the guy. It never shakes out the way we think it's going to in the next year. Albert Breer said it to us last hour. Right now it's Drake May and Caleb Williams. No one saw Joe Burrow coming when the year started. And then he ended up being the number one overall pick. So there's always guys that you don't expect that are going to put up numbers. And Marvin Harrison, what if he has a down year? I mean, there's no guarantee that just because he did something this year, he's going to do something next year.
I'm talking about based on what we know today.
Yeah.
That's the guy I want.
Yeah,
that's Marvin
fine.
Harrison mm-hmm. Jr. Let's go back to the phones. Greg's in Northwest Indiana. Hey, Greg, what's up, man?
Yeah, how you doing, Cap?
What's up, kid?
I was just going to comment about the Bears' total wins in the offseason. I don't think it's a far, you know, reality that the Bears can win 10 games and possibly make the playoffs, maybe win a division.
Damn.
You got a,
wow.
You got
love
a
it, Craig.
Bad,
love it.
You got a declining Green Bay team. You got a Minnesota team taking a step back.
Wins.
Nate, can you? There's not really no powerhouses in the NFC. The NFC is wide open.
Well, you don't play the powerhouses, Craig. Is the key here? No, hold on. Let Greg have his moment.
I'm letting him. I want to ask him a question.
Greg, you're right because
you made a comment about the Giants beating the Vikings last year.
Yeah,
the Bears could easily beat the Vikings and the Giants last year, and they were tanking with no offensive line. No weapons.
Wait. The Bears could have what?
They could have. They lost 2-1 score games to both those teams.
They were tanking though last year. They're not trying to win games. They were beating Detroit. They were beating Minnesota. They were beating Green Bay. They were beating Washington.
If
you add on just a couple plays on a shitty team,
No. Thank you. Bye-bye. See ya. Thanks, Greg. We got to keep it clean.
All right. Well, to finish Greg's point before he used the naughty word, they don't play the powerhouses in the NFC, which are two teams now. They don't play the Eagles or the Lions this year. Not the Lions. See what you've done to me? The Cowboys this year. Those are probably the two best teams in the NFC now.
Well, it's San Francisco.
Okay, they don't play San Francisco either. So they don't play those. They don't play those three teams.
They play Seattle?
They don't play Seattle. They have a very easy schedule. They obviously play the division. Their home teams are the Falcons, which probably won't be very good. The Panthers probably won't be very good. The Broncos aren't. Who knows? The Raiders? Who knows? And then their road games are tougher, obviously. They play the Chiefs on the road, the Chargers on the road, the Saints on the road. The Bucs are going to be awful. The Cardinals come here. They're not going to be very good. Cleveland, who knows what you're going to get. And the Commanders, do they have a quarterback? The Commanders don't have a quarterback right now.
Correct.
So
people are watching them on Lamar.
It's a very easy schedule. And I would say, to Greg's point as well, They had a 1-point loss against Minnesota. The ball was literally ripped out of Smith Marset's hands. Hey, I finally remembered his name. Smith Marset's hands when they were driving and were in field goal range and could have won that game. They didn't. They lost a 1-point game to the Lions again too, which they could have won that game. Like it could easily, they could easily split with the Lions, the Packers, and the Vikings this year. Easily.
Okay. I hope you're right.
I don't know if you do.
3-1-2.
Especially because that would mean two losses for your Lions.
312-332-3776. Scott in South Elgin. Hey, Scott.
Hey, morning, boys. Happy spring trading.
You too, man.
Hey, so, yeah, I don't know what's going on with the callers this morning, but it feels like everyone fell off the stupid train and landed on your radio station. I promise to refrain from swearing.
Thank you.
The off-season to me so far, free agency, feels like the grade is, you know, maybe incomplete. I feel like we're about 60% where we need to be.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see Poles address the defensive line.
Agreed.
And maybe even the offensive line a little bit more before we get into the draft, because I don't want to be pigeonholed into taking a Jalen Carter or pigeonholed into taking a Peter Skoronski, who maybe projects more as a guard because of his arm length. They said the same thing about Slater, but he's a different animal. And I'll hang up and listen to what you guys have to say, but I think all Bears fans just need to take a step back, look at it from a 100-yard view, and say, okay, they're not a complete team. Post flat out told you this is not going to be a complete roster this year. I'm looking at maybe 7 or 8 wins. I'll hang up, listen to what you guys got to say. Love your show. Have a good day.
Scott, appreciate you, man. Have a good day. Thank you. They have not addressed the defensive line hardly at all.
Mm-hmm.
That is my biggest concern. They're among the three worst teams in the NFL at stopping the run.
Mm-hmm.
They are the worst team in the NFL at pressuring the opposing quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And those are two huge problems, and I don't know if 21, 22-year-old rookies fix exactly what ails this team now.
Well, you're not going to solve everything this year, obviously. Poles has said that. And what you're going to do is you're probably going to draft a defensive lineman, I hope, at 9, and then fill it in with some, you know, one-year veteran deals. Like A'shaun Robinson is still out there. That would be a decent one-year deal. He's older, but it's a decent one-year deal for depth. Like, you still have what did I read, like $40 million left in cap space?
About, a little over, 42.
And that's even with factoring in paying your draft picks. So you still have around $40 million. Now, maybe do they restructure some guys? Do they give Darnell Mooney another deal? Do they give Jalen Johnson another deal? Do they give Cole Kmet another deal in this offseason? So those guys are entering the last years of their deal this year. So you could see that happen too. But you're adding depth now, and then you're going to add guys in the draft. To me, that's building it the right way. Building in the right way isn't just spending 4 years building your lines. That's not building it the right way to me. Building the right way to me is that when this team was in one-score games, the reason they were losing is because they had the ball at the end of the game and you had Velus Jones muffing a punt, dropping a football. You had Darnell Mooney who couldn't get a butt cheek down. You had Smith Marsette get a ball ripped out from him. Well, those guys aren't going to be a factor. Darnell Mooney is. But now you've got DJ Moore. You've got, hopefully, a better Chase Claypool. You've got an opportunity to turn those one-score losses into one-score wins. And that's what you saw from the Vikings this year. They did that. They had a bunch of one-score losses the year before. They did it, turned them into one-score wins. And you saw it from the Lions this year. 2 years ago, they were blowing games left and right. You're like, oh, man, the Lions are up on it. Whoop, never mind. Not anymore. Because they would blow these leads. Now they finally found a way to hang on to those leads. This year, they still didn't make the playoffs. But I think that this is a team that, also it's the NFL. You don't have to be perfect at every position. The Bears were playing really well when everyone was healthy. They need depth on this team. They don't need to completely revamp every position. They just need depth. They need solid depth.
312-332-3776. The savory and cereal round of our breakfast bracket. We'd love your thoughts as well. We'll be right back.
Here's today's headlines. Headlines with Cap'n Jay Hood.
All righty then, Bulls fans. They get it done last night in Philly. First time in 13 games that the Bulls ever beat a Sixers team that had Joel Embiid in the lineup.
Yay.
They were 12-0 till they got it done last. Or excuse me, the Sixers were 12-0 till the Bulls got it done last night. 109-105 in double overtime. The big three: DeRozan, Vooch, and LaVine combined for 82. PBev spearheaded the defensive attack. Bulls win. Blackhawks lose their second straight last night. Season's winding down. They were blown out in Colorado 5-0. Former Cowboys tight end Dalton Schultz off the market. He stays in Texas, but he moves from Dallas to Houston. He's a Texan, worth up to $9 million on a one-year deal. In the World Baseball Classic Final tonight in Miami at 6 p.m., it's U.S. against Japan.
This is Spring Trading Tuesday. Same lovable ESPN Chicago host, but paired with different radio partners. Spring Trading Tuesday continues on ESPN Chicago.
So we started this NCAA tournament bracket, our version of craziness in this month. Of breakfast items. And Shay and Jay Moore put the seedings in. Hoodie and I didn't agree with all the seedings, but we have now advanced to the round of 32. And we're going to start in the savory region. It was steak and eggs, the 1. Drilled breakfast ham, the 16. Steak and eggs will now take on an upset 9-8 winner. Omelet knocked out Eggs Benedict. So it's steak and eggs against omelet.
You know, people were worried about steak and eggs against breakfast ham. Breakfast ham kept it close at halftime. But, you know, steak and eggs made the halftime adjustments to prove why they're the number one team, even though I think they're overseeded as a number one team. Probably should have been a number two in this region, but props to Steak and Eggs for having the composure. And obviously Omelet just running away. You know, they were actually the favorite over the Eggs Benedict. Even though they were the lower seed, the point spread would dictate that Omelet was going to win. And when that happened, you should probably bet that team as I did. So props to Omelet.
Okay. The 2 seed Chicken and Waffles advanced easily over Savory Oatmeal.
See, this
I don't know
been
exactly what that means, savory oatmeal.
Neither do I. I guess I don't understand. I don't pretend to understand it, but it's there and they're gone.
Are
so
you
good.
An oatmeal eater?
Occasionally. It's not like my go-to. I am a huge Chicken and Waffles fan. This should have been the number one overall
seed. Yeah, see, I'm not a fan.
Chicken and Waffles. I once went on a trip. We went to go see Florida-Tennessee in Tennessee. And for the entire trip, I ate nothing but chicken and waffles. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, chicken and waffles. It was so good.
So if we ever go eat and that's all they're serving, you can have mine.
Fine. Awesome.
I now want to get chicken and waffles when I leave here.
Dude, chicken and waffles.
The way Adam's selling it to me, I want it now when I leave.
Two great spots for chicken and waffles. My favorite chicken and waffles, two spots in the city. Longman and Eagle, chicken and waffles, and Luella's up in Andersonville. Luella's chicken and waffles, oh my God. Some of the best chicken and waffles that you'll ever have. They even do, I think they do a chicken and French toast too.
There's also one in Oak Park. It's called Chicago Chicken and Waffles.
Ooh,
it's
I've had that
good.
Before.
Oh, yeah.
Delicious.
Really good.
Delicious.
Yeah, I don't want the syrup touching the chicken. I don't eat fried chicken.
Oh,
so
it's so good. See, that's why I don't think it's necessarily savory, because I deck it out in maple syrup. So
what, your oatmeal?
No. The chicken and waffles.
Well, no, but this... Oh, the savory
in
region.
The savory
Got
region.
It.
Okay. Yeah.
Then we have bacon, eggs, and cheese took out the 12-seeded scrambled eggs.
Ugh. Who just eats scrambled eggs, you weirdo?
Me.
I'll eat them occasionally, but you got to get salt, pepper, hot sauce.
Yeah, there's got to be something. The scrambled eggs are the vehicle for... That's
yeah,
why omelets
use the salt,
like,
but I'll go pepper and hot sauce.
Pepper and hot sauce, yeah. It's a vehicle for pepper and hot sauce. No one wants to eat just loose eggs.
We had a big upset, which I just thought it was poor seating by the committee. Breakfast skillet, the 13, took out the 4 grits. Grits, a 4 seed? You guys were high.
We saw what happened. Unfortunately, Grits had a rough run in the tour. They had a nice year. They won 30 games.
Yeah, you got to understand. Yeah, Grits was very high in KenPom.
It's like Utah
KenPom
State.
KenPom laughed at Grits, and on the thrill score on KenPom, he had zero interest in it. None.
Well, and they didn't move on. Now you have breakfast skillet going up against bacon, egg, and cheese. All of the voting, by the way, for the round of 32 is now open at ESPN 1000.
Okay, hash browns, the 3, took out breakfast sausage. I don't really... Hash browns are fine, but I would easily have voted breakfast... I did vote breakfast sausage.
As someone who can only eat the turkey form of breakfast sausage, I would have gone with hash browns. Hash browns make anything better. You give me chicken and waffles and a side of hash browns, we're calling it a day right there. I'm not moving off the couch after that.
Okay, everything bagel, the 11, lost to biscuits and gravy, the 6. I'm not a biscuits and gravy guy, so...
Yeah, neither am I. I'm interested.
But I'm also not an everything bagel guy.
I'm hoping chicken and waffles and hash browns will be advancing. That's going to be a matchup for the ages. That is a call your sons, call your daughters type of matchup. Block out the 2 hours there to watch that game.
All right, breakfast burrito, the 7, took out lox and bagels, the 10.
Early reporting here. Breakfast burrito has a very early lead on chicken and waffles. 66% to 34%.
I got to vote. Yeah, listen, burritos are fine. Breakfast burritos, what are you doing here? Like, you're just lazy.
This is Houston-Auburn in the first half. Auburn's out to a big lead. We'll see if the staple chicken and waffles can storm back.
I love a good breakfast burrito, but it is no chicken and waffles, my friend.
All right, let's go to the cereal region. The 1 seed, my favorite cereal. I don't know the last time I've ever had it, but it's delicious. Frosted Flakes, the 1, blew out Honeycombs, the 16, and now we'll face Cinnamon Toast Crunch, who knocked out Cocoa Puffs.
This will be a tough matchup for Frosted Flakes because Cinnamon Toast Crunch has a very, very eclectic fan base.
It does.
They absolutely
do. Well said, Jay Moore.
You know, they play good defense. They can stretch the floor. And if Cinnamon Toast Crunch can hit their threes, they can make some noise in this tournament.
And it's a fan base for Cinnamon Toast Crunch. They travel well. This is not going to be a home game for Frosted Flakes.
They do. Yeah. This is going to be great.
Then we have Honey Nut Cheerios, which knocked out the 12-seeded Apple Jacks. I love Apple Jacks. Against Cocoa Pebbles, who knocked out the 13 Trix.
Well, yeah, because Trix are for kids, and this is an adult voted on bracket, I would assume. So you knew the Trix was going to be easily.
Trix are for kids, but I do like Apple Jacks. I haven't had those in eons, too.
I have not had Apple Jacks in forever because it's a garbage cereal. Honey Nut Cheerios, like the strong, sturdy, to me, they're the Michigan State of this tournament because, you know, like old Michigan State, not newer one that that Shea hates, but like you knew that they might struggle during the regular season, but once tournament time hits, Honey Nut Cheerios turns it on.
Hey, apparently, right. Old Michigan State's back in style, baby. Because they turned it on.
Lucky Charms, the three, knocked out Count Chocula. That was an easy one to predict.
That's an easy one, yeah.
And Captain Crunchberries. Captain Crunchberries.
Yeah.
Knocked out Rice Krispies. Rice Krispies are good, like when you make Rice Krispie treats.
Yeah, who eats that as a cereal?
My mom used to do a Rice Krispie crusted chicken that was delicious.
Ooh, that does sound good.
But not as a cereal.
They used to make Rice Krispie treats. They probably still do. I haven't gone down the cereal aisle in a minute, but they used to make Rice Krispie treats cereal.
I'll be at the Jewels today. I will look.
Get it. Yeah. I'm not going to eat it, but I'll look. I don't know how well they would stay together once you introduce the milk. But they used to make Rice Krispie Treat cereal that you could just buy and just eat Rice Krispie Treats all the time.
Lucky Charms against Captain Crunchberries, the six. And then Fruit Loops, the seven, knocked out Reese's Puffs, the 10.
See, to me, that's an upset. On paper, it's not. But Reese's Puffs? Come on,
man.
Never
even heard of that one.
Oh, my God. Reese's cereal?
Yeah.
Come on.
Those are pretty good.
Fruit Loops is now battling the two seed, who won easily. Fruity Pebbles took out Frosted Mini Wheats. Fruity Pebbles, way overseeded.
But now this is like Kentucky against Kansas State. You've got two Wildcats. You've got two fruits, Fruit Loops and Fruity Pebbles, going against each other. Both disgusting, in my opinion.
Like, if I was reseeding this, I didn't get any say, nor did Hoodie. The guys did it. Cinnamon Toast Crunch should have been the two seed in this bracket.
But Fruity Pebbles spent a lot of money on the coach. So that has to count for something.
They did, and they built a new arena. You got some boosters to kick in money.
Absolutely.
So they went that way.
You know what? I don't know if they make it anymore. One of my favorite cereals was Team Cheerios. Do you remember Team Cheerios?
I remember that.
Do you remember Team Cheerios?
Yes.
Oh yeah. So it was cinnamon apples. It was regular Cheerios. It was Honey Nut Cheerios and Frosted Cheerios, all in the same bag, and they came together as a team to form a great honey frosted nutritious cereal. It was great. I love that cereal. That cereal was awesome. I hope they still make it. Again, haven't been down the cereal aisle in a minute. I'll get to scarf down some cereal once my daughter's old enough to eat it. And I can't wait for that day when I can eat sugary-based cereals once again. I'm surprised. Now, to pull the curtain back, I'm surprised that you guys were allowed to do some of this, given Danny Zetterman, our director of content, and his health-based agenda, as I like to call it.
Fruity Pebbles is only so high because he said it needed to be seated so highly.
Okay, let me just tell you something.
Big health and Danny?
Danny is the health guy.
Yeah.
He is.
Yeah.
Danny, back in the day now, could throw it down with the best of them.
Oh, of course.
And so Danny still has never lost his ability to rewind his brain back to Danny at high school and college at Kansas, and he could still give you his thoughts on sugary cereals.
Like, I'm surprised we don't have a kale bracket. We don't have a meats bracket because he just eat meats.
But to Danny's point, he did try to get Raisin Bran in.
What is wrong with him? Raisin Bran's disgusting.
No, it's not.
Raisin Bran's gross. You're putting raisins in everything.
We have the Cap and Jay Hood Chicago Cut Steakhouse Cut of the Day. Don't forget, it's Spring Trading, a Zetterman creation. Coming up, you get Greeny, then you get Waddle and Hoodie, right? And then Sylvie and Carm, and then Bleck and Yurko. Be right back.
This is Spring Trading Tuesday. Same lovable ESPN Chicago hosts, but paired with different radio partners. Spring Trading Tuesday continues on ESPN Chicago.
A lot of fun today getting to work with Adam Abdallah.
Yeah, let's do it again next year.
Let's do it. 100%. You should come in. If Hoodie's on vacation, you should come in. You and I always have good discussions.
I enjoy sleep. I enjoy working with my partner, Chris Bleck.
You could do both.
No, I'm not doing both shows.
Come on now. We didn't get the 32-hour ridiculous work week yet.
You do both shows.
I would have no problem. I worked two shows for 15 years.
And now you don't.
Well, I'm at a different stage in my life than you.
Okay, all right.
And if the right thing comes along, I will be. Anyway, time for the Cap of Jay Hood Cut of the Day, brought to you by our friends at Chicago Cut Steakhouse.
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
An Oregon suburb has become popular for one woman trimming her hedges, a giant arborvitae, into the shape of a giant penis. Her neighbors regularly contribute decorations like little red balls as ornaments for Christmas and even massive scissors for World Vasectomy Day. The hedge is colloquially referred to as the Chub Shrub and regularly stops traffic on suburban streets. Shot or no shot, a giant arborvitae is the funniest thing you can make look like a penis.
Ooh. Oh, man. Shot. Because you can change it, right? Like, first of all, what does the headline say?
The headline was, giant penis pleases suburban neighborhood.
Cap, I didn't know you moved. Wow. I complimented you. I think because you can change it, right?
You have to let it grow.
Well, I mean, that's a personal thing right there.
Is a grower or a shower?
That's it. Grower or a shower?
They did a study, another study that Cap probably won't believe in, that said that's actually a thing. Growers versus showers.
I saw that article.
That's actually a thing. Well, it probably came in your inbox, too.
All right, so...
And that's all, folks.
Wow. Brought to you by our great friends at Chicago Cut Steakhouse, David Flom and Matt Moore. I've talked about it before. You've got to try the lobster escargot. It's the single most popular thing on the menu. Pair that with the Newski bacon, a pre-dinner drink, and then order yourself the Cajun ribeye. A meal.
They got lobster mac, don't they, too?
They do.
Oh, that stuff's good.
Have you had the lobster escargot?
I have not had the lobster
escargot. It's insane.
I've had the lobster mac before. Very good.
It's insane. My favorite restaurant.
Good. Very, very good.
Anyway, Shay, did you have an update on a previous story?
Yeah, sidebar, may I approach?
Yes, brought to you by Ankin Law, 3126 million for the great Howard Ankin.
Really an update on a previous story. It's kind of a new story I saw today. We were trying to find a way to talk about it, so I'll just bring it up here. There's a serial pooper in Broadway. Serial pooper.
Should have been in the cereal bracket.
Broadway is in the street here.
Broadway in New York.
Yep.
The former First Lady, Hillary Clinton, was at a play, and there was the lights came on after the first act, and there were two human turds in the aisle at the Schubert Theater. Now, this is not an isolated event. Apparently, this has happened 4 times recently. Somebody is going to Broadway theaters and pooping in the aisles while the lights are down and then leaving. There's a serial pooper terrorizing Broadway theaters.
Well, they're just leaving their rating of the performance. They're not happy with the performance.
Two poops.
I mean, excuse me. This was only a four-poop performance. This is two poops. I mean, think about it. If this show wasn't good, maybe Shay should start doing that. Maybe Shay should just start pooping.
I'll just walk in the studio and then walk out.
Just sitting there and just be like, I didn't like this show, guys, and just like drop trowel.
Wow.
And just start pooping in the studio. And then he leaves. You know? I mean, listen. I've seen this before. As someone who has been the one who has to get Waddle's World stories, so this has been a story before. There's been serial poopers that are joggers do poop a lot. I read a story that Chris brought to my attention yesterday that there's a marathon runner. She pooped in her pants, and she left it in there all the entire race, and she set a personal record. And maybe it was because there were poop in her pants, maybe because there wasn't. But I would say when you gotta go, you gotta go. Maybe this person have like a Pavlov's dogs thing. Like whenever they get to a certain point in a musical, they just have to poop every time.
In Hamilton is like, I gotta go.
Yeah, they're like, oh man, I'm gonna take my shot. That's a joke for people that have seen the musical. I'm sorry if you haven't seen Hamilton. There's a part in the musical where he goes, I have to take my shot or whatever, and that's when you would poop.
That is a great musical.
It's okay. I get it. People rap.
Saw it twice.
I get it.
Really good. I saw it in New York and in Chicago and did not feel like the Chicago was any less impressive than the New York performance.
It's okay.
But it was cool to see it in New York.
I've seen better musicals.
Your favorite all time?
Oh, man, that's tough. My favorite
Miss
musical.
Miss Saigon was amazing.
My favorite musical of all time is probably.
Phantom?
No. It might be.
What was the Mormon one?
It might be Book of Mormon. If Book of Mormon was really funny. People think it's boring. I really like Les Mis. I like Les Miserables.
I'm a Wicked guy.
Wicked was good.
Wicked's good. I've seen Wicked a couple times with different girlfriends.
Miss Saigon was really good, too.
Yeah.
Anyway, spring trading.
Yeah.
Good to be with you.
We didn't kill each other.
We did not. We had fun. We battled. We disagreed, and that's okay. Don't forget, Greeny's up next, then Hood and Waddle, Sylvie and Carmen, Black and Yurko. Have a great day. Tomorrow, Waddle and Sylvie in the morning. I'll be in the afternoon. Have a great rest of your day. Take that.
From Chicago.